Hello again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Gut Lit Podcast. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say the Gut Lit Podcast. Holy crap, what is it? The Pocket Lint Podcast? Like, what? The Gut Wrench Podcast. The only podcast that's endorsed by 9 out of 10 dentists. Because the 10th dentist couldn't make it to work that day, unfortunately. Because he ran into a little bit of an accident. For only giving me 4 out of 5 stars in his review. So, with all that information out there, now that it's been public, and I know I'm forgetting to do something. I'm forgetting to silly me. Hello everyone. Once again, my name's Mocha. Your name is not Mocha, but I bet it's something that's important to you and your family. I bet it's Eric or Jasmine. No, never mind. It couldn't be Jasmine. Apparently, my analytics have informed me that my audience is 100% male. So, despite my constant pleas to women's wrestling and the fact that I'm followed on Twitter by Shimmer Wrestling, which is an all-female promotion, by the way, for those of you not who didn't know that, or for that matter in the future, who don't already know that. I found that to be a very interesting fact. I've been doing this about a year, and 100% they can tell me, because there were only 3 options. Male, female, non-binary, which, don't worry, we'll get to that in just a moment, because there's someone who, on our wrestling radar, perhaps, later on in the show, for whatever reason, that identifies as they, them, put that in air quotes, by the way, because I'm not really sure what. You know, like, why? Why do you gotta be weird? You know, it's like 2015 came around. And then after that, there was a whole big, maybe one person who decided that it was a good idea to, for whatever reason, maybe their mom asked them to go take out the trash. And then they were like, okay, I'll go take out the trash. And make sure your sister cleans her room. And then all of a sudden, the big sister looks at the mom. And then she's like, you can't call her, okay? She prefers to be called they, them. So get her pronouns right, mom. And then all of a sudden, as a joke, maybe it was a joke, it started to become this whole big thing that blossomed out of control. Because they, them, didn't want to clean their room, you know? Now it's hard to get people's pronouns right, because all of a sudden they don't feel right in the right body or whatever. I don't feel like a man, so I must be a woman, you know? So everybody call me a woman. And Mocha, doesn't that sound like a fairly woman name, you know? Listen here, you little. There's a name for people like you, and I can't think of it. You know? But anyway, we're going to talk about that whenever we cross that bridge, which will be somewhere in the first 3 matches, now that I'm looking at my notes. Also, first ever here on the Gut Wrench Podcast, I didn't take my notes this week on a pen and paper. because I'd noticed throughout past episodes that I'd been complaining that there's not enough light in my room, and you know, I can't write down what I need to write down if there's not enough light in my room, because writing is hard when you can't see the piece of paper that you're writing on. So, as an experiment, I thought that it was a great idea to take out my notes from my phone, to take out my literal notepad on my phone, and open YouTube, and at the bottom, where I have YouTube Premium, I can watch the YouTube video while actually taking notes. So this week, we're going to try a small experiment where I'm going to try to do somewhat of a play-by-play. That's right, a play-by-play, almost like they do in football whenever they're like, oh no, and then Johnson passes the ball, and it's intercepted. And the interception is cleared. He goes through to the 10, the 20, the 30, even though I hate football. For whatever reason, the announcer seems to get really, you know, like, happy for whatever reason. Oh no, he's got the ball. Oh boy, what's he gonna do next? You know, like, calm down, buddy. It's just a ball game. Jesus. Do you need, like, some medicine? You know? Like, God. Do you see this guy? And it's every week with this guy, like four or five times a week, because God forbid football. I mean, there's college games, there's fucking major league games, there's some sort of before the pro league games, there's the regular season, and then there's the pro season. Oh boy, pro season's coming around, football. But as much as I hate football, I'm going to try to do a little bit of a play-by-play commentary, because I wrote down some of the, if not all of the major parts of the wrestling matches that took place this week. Some of this is also going to be improvised, so everything that I'm reading off of my notes right now that's in front of me instead of, you know, usually my notes are on my lap, and I have to, like, where there's not sufficient lighting in my room, I have to, like, look around and, like, oh no, what did I say here? And then, like, you know, either my whole entire room will be lit by a candle, so, or by 6 or 10 candles, so that I can see my light, or so that I can see my notes, rather. Or, for that matter, I'll use my laptop light or something of that nature. So I don't really have a light in my room because the electrical outlet is kind of messed up. And, you know, I don't really know what else to do aside from, like, lamps, stuff like that, you know. But I prefer natural lights because I don't want, like, a big hovering light over top of me. I'd rather have, like, a dim lit light that's, like, right behind me or covering, like, a certain area or areola of, like, my room. Just because whenever I look at what I'm looking at, I need to look at that, and I don't need to be blinded by the light. Shout out to you, Drake, and shout out to you, Final Fantasy, I think it's 13, right? Because there's a song on there called Blinded by the Light. It's not a song so much as it is an orchestra, but it's a beautiful piece of music. And it's the battle theme song. Nonetheless, I took a few notes on my laptop, and today we will be looking at AEW, All Elite Wrestling And we will be looking at AEW Elevation. Oh, sorry, Dark Elevation. From this past week. So, Tuesday was... Today is the 11th, because it is my brother's birthday. So, today is Friday. So, the 10th was Wednesday. The 9th, I'm thinking, if I'm counting backwards. So, from the 9th, from November the 9th, 2022, AEW Dark Elevation. So AEW presents Full Gear. The story here is that Jon Moxley, our AEW champion, will be facing off against MJF, who, for whatever reason, he's not up to his usual heelish tricks like he usually is. Instead of allowing the group that he's in, I don't really know their name, but Jon Moxley is also in a group, and he's got people who have got his back. A lot of people are speculating that Moxley's group, Blackpool Combat Club, are going to end up turning on Moxley come pay-per-view time, which Full Gear is your pay-per-view. Full Gear 2022 should be coming up within the next 2 weeks or week or so. So they gave a huge advertisement for that before the show starts, and they said Jon Moxley will face off against AEW's Prodigal Son or something like that. I know that they didn't say Prodigal Son. Original Heel, you know, something of that nature. MJF, and MJF is so good. Like, on the microphone, he's so good in the ring. Some of his skits and some of the stuff that he does, some of his promo work is actually like top rated. You know, everyone practically says, except for of course one person, that one person is Jim Cornette. So Cornette, and he's also the same guy, right? Jim Cornette has a podcast much like I do, and he's also the same guy who, for whatever reason, 5 weeks, he'll go like 8 or 10 months out of the year, and he'll say stuff like, Kenny Omega's really good, and I'm interested to see where Kenny Omega takes his character. And then, after saying that for 10 months, the other 2 months in the year, he'll say, oh my god, I can't believe Kenny Omega did this, or Kenny Omega did that. He's a dog, ain't he? I can't believe he did that. I would never do that. And he needs to, and then he'll call him stuff like, rich boy Kenny over here is doing this, and he thinks that he's funny. He thinks that he's entertaining. And then I'm like, you need to make up your mind, you dumb son of a bitch. Because you can't, honestly, be that jaded. You can't, honestly, be that stupid to wherever you're actually on a microphone saying something to the effect of 1 week, saying something to the effect of this, and this is really good, and I can't wait to see where it goes. And then the very next week, you're out there saying something like, well, I can't believe they're doing this. What's this? I don't like it. You gotta be consistent, my guy. You gotta know what consistency is, first off, before you become a consistent person. Notice, for instance, just as a for instance, I'm gonna use myself as an example. Every week, I get on here, and I'll talk about Sami Zayn, ooh, he who shall not be mentioned, and what a piss poor job he's doing in the bloodline. And that's the truth. I'm sorry if you don't want to hear it. I'm sorry if I just hurt your feelings. I'm sorry if this makes you feel some kind of way wherever you have to send me a complaint. In a tweet, in an email, I want your interaction. Tell me why I'm wrong. But you can't. So therefore, I'm right. You can't tell me that I'm wrong because you would just be proving me right. Allow me to explain a little bit further before we get into today's episode. If you're mad that I, a journalist, say something to the effect of Sami Zayn has no talent, no standings in a wrestling ring, you're mad because, now here's the cause and effect that comes into play here, okay? Are you ready? I'm about to flip your world upside down. You're mad because I must be right. Because if I was wrong, you would have no reason to be mad. If I was wrong, you could glance over this comment and or anything that I'm protesting to, anything that I'm saying, you could glance over it. You could say, oh, well, that's just your opinion, bud. But if I was right, you see, you would be like, oh, man, I gotta defend Sami Zayn. Somebody's out there making him out to be someone that he's not. Therefore, you're proving my point to be correct. However, Jim Cornette, old Jimmy boy here, he doesn't... So I don't know if he's on some medicine, if he's like, you know, if he's drinking the stupid juice or something, but every week... His podcast is just a bowl of mixed nuts. It's almost like you never know what you're going to hear. One week he might say, John Moxley is amazing. And then I've got a quote in my phone, like as one of those posters that people put up. And then they're like, it has like a small quote from him wherever he's like saying something about John Moxley that's really not like... I'm upset about that, but that's because it's not true. It's because Jim Cornette, as I stated before, must be drinking the stupid juice. Especially whenever he's been on his podcast, week after week after week, saying stuff like, John Moxley's the best. John Moxley's the man. John Moxley, you know... Like, he's singing John Moxley's praise, and then one week he's not. So he needs to make up his mind. That's where I'm driving this conversation to. He needs to make up his mind. I swear, he's drinking the stupid juice. I like that. I'm going to keep that one. Okay, and this week we looked at the November the 9th, 2022 episode of AEW Dark Elevation. And my notes... Where was I? I recently have a book coming out. So, it says to talk about my book, you know. So, I'm working on the book, and don't worry, it's gonna get here. I promise everybody, you know, unless it doesn't get published and I end up dead in a ditch somewhere for talking about, oh, you don't talk about Sami Zayn. I'm from North Kentucky, and I'm going to tell you right now, you don't talk about Sami Zayn. I'm from South Alabama. You don't talk about Sami Zayn. I'm going to show up at your front door. I'm going to light some dog shit in a bag. Knock, 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 you know. Ooh, poo water. But anyway, it says here to talk about my book and talk about the episode that I have tonight. Also, ladies and gentlemen, if you could, do me a small favor. Leave me a 5-star review on the App Store. Doesn't matter which App Store. If you could, leave me a 5-star review on all of the App Stores. Right now, I probably have 7 or 8 or 10 5-star reviews. Greatly appreciate your input, by the way. And if you don't feel as though that I deserve a 5-star review, you must be a butthurt Sami Zayn fan. Or, for that matter, maybe you have a reason as to why I don't deserve a 5-star review. I would love to hear your input. So, if you could, please leave a nice or a not-so-nice comment on my Twitter page, or, for that matter, the rating that you're about to leave me. And thank you so much for your input, and thank you for listening to the Gut Wrench Podcast. Power to the people. Power to the people. Not to quote Johnny Ace or anything like that, but, okay, so match one is Abaddon versus Amy Rose. So, the significance of her name, Amy Rose. So, for those of you who aren't Sonic the Hedgehog fans or you haven't played through the video games of Sonic the Hedgehog, there is a character in her name. She's a little pink hedgehog, not only in the comic books, but also in the video games of Sonic the Hedgehog. Her name is Amy Rose. So, there's this one particular... This is what came to mind whenever I was watching this episode of Dark Elevation this past week. There's this one particular scene in Sonic Battle Adventure 2 for the GameCube. Early in the game, the military catches Sonic, and whenever they do, they put him behind the bar, behind, like, you know, in the brig, if you will, whenever they capture Sonic, because they, for whatever reason, can't tell the difference between Sonic and Shadow the Hedgehog. But whenever they capture Sonic and they put him behind the, put him in the brig, basically, there's this part where Amy comes in and she goes, "Have no fear, Amy Rose is here." And then she does the little ballerina twirl thing. And she kind of does like a bow, if you will. I don't know. Sonic's weird. So anyway, Sonic's in jail, and Amy ends up saying, Sonic ends up saying, "Let me out of here, Amy." And then Amy ends up saying something along the lines of, "If I do, will you marry me?" And then he says, "No way." And then she says, "Aw, man, I thought I had you this time." And she lets him out anyway, because she's got like a key card. You just swipe the key card, and then I guess it just opens the door. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, you could have forced him to marry you. What do you mean? "Oh, I thought I had you this time." Well, may as well just let you out of jail. Anyway. No. No. Oh my God. That game is so funny. And you know how I've talked about in the past the sin counter that I did where I talked about everything wrong with. Well, he does a parody of everything wrong with in that particular video game. So, if you're interested, it's a video online. It's called Everything Wrong with Sonic Battle Adventure 2, and it's extremely funny. If anyone's interested in checking that out, because I've watched it quite a few times. But anyway, Abaddon versus Amy Rose, and it says here in my notes to make jokes about her name being Amy Rose and stuff of that nature, and have no fear, Amy Rose is here. It was a quote that I put here in order to remind myself. And apparently, according to them on commentary, Amy Rose is a former ROH Ring of Honor manager that got bought out whenever, you know, Ring of Honor got bought and merged with AEW. And they actually keep a lot of the Ring of Honor history here now that they own, I suppose, all of the namesake, if you will, all of the the trademarks, I guess you could say. And also Abaddon is being referred to by one of the commentators, not the other one, which I only knew who one of them was. 'Cause he did introduce himself, like he introduced himself and his partner, but he didn't introduce himself like a lot, maybe twice, you know? Like, why? I guess your name's not really important, but it would be nice to know who you are if you're somewhat of a name in the wrestling world. Anyway, Abaddon goes by they/them pronouns, and whenever he's talking about her. Notice how I'm calling her, her. And whenever he's talking, he's almost talking like he's talking about a plural person. But Abaddon is one person. Excuse you, how are you talking about her like she's three individuals in one? And that's what it comes down to is like I said at the beginning of this program, I really don't understand how people can say that they don't feel right. Ew. Ew, I don't feel right in my body. You know, I feel like a woman. I've been listening to Shania Twain too much, you know, like stop. Stop, evaluate your life, you know, take a minute, take a deep breath, and ask yourself, do I really feel more feminine, or am I just procreating and manifesting this? Like, do I really wanna feel like a woman, or am I actually feeling like a woman? Do I actually feel more feminine? And if it is a hormonal imbalance, maybe you need to go see your doctor. You do not, however, need to go, oh, may as well go have my wiener chopped off. That's the one solution right here. This thing right here is causing me more problems than it's worth. Please, for the love of God. Take a nap, but you know, do something. I don't understand. I gave this match 1 out of 5 stars, aside from a couple of jokes that I could make, I suppose, toward its expense. There was really nothing to like highlighting about it, you know. DraftKings partners with AEW again. I guess they're done partnering with WWE because they used to partner with WWE. Literally. Like, I don't understand this. I guess they're not allowed to partner with WWE anymore, and I guess AEW is just the newest renaissance of professional wrestling. If you can, for whatever reason, if you can manage to get correct how a few of the matches will end or in what way, like, let's say, John Moxley, MJF, and you was to put down submission, and, you know, whoever wins via submission, then, what do you know, you could win your share of $2,500, $2,500. That's a lot of doll hairs. So, DraftKings with Daddy Magic and Cool Hand make a huge ad. ROH six-man tag team championships match as the six-man, as the trios championships are on the line. As the champions, Dalton Castle and the boys versus the Trust Busters. The Trust Busters are Aria, Slim, and Jeeves K. Later on, about 5 minutes into the match, I would figure out who the hell the boys are, because they are announced as the boys, and for a better half of the match, they are referred to as the boys. So the boys are Brandon and Brent. So I finally found out their names after about 5 minutes, because there was even a part in the match where the Trust Busters were outside, Aria and Slim, and I think Jeeves was in the ring, but and while they're outside, they couldn't get into the ring because Dalton Castle clapped his hands and he said, "Boys." And whenever he says that, he grabs them and starts throwing them outside the ring onto the opposing team. Like they're lawn darts or something. And Katy Perry. Holy crap. Dalton Castle reminds me of Katy Perry and Velveteen Dream if they were to have, a child. I suppose you could say he's very flamboyant. Let's put it that way, but nonetheless, once again, about people who are confused and they don't know exactly, you know, I gave it 2 out of 5 stars. I gave the other match, Abaddon versus Amy Rose, 1 out of 5 stars. This one was fairly entertaining for quite a few reasons. As, Dalton and the boys ended up retaining their championships. Athena versus Abby Jayne. And Abby Jayne looks like a discount version of Nikki Cross back when she was all smiles and stuff of that nature. Now she's getting back into her gimmick, or at least a version of her gimmick back when she was like, you know, I am dark and I am mysterious and, you know, I am with sanity, you know, that group with Eric Young and Alex Wolf and her husband or her boyfriend, whatever his name was. He's a big guy. He's called the Alex Wolf, Eric Young. I'm hoping if I say it enough times that it'll... Nope, it's not coming back to me. He's called the Belfast Brawler, I think, was his his ring name, if I remember correctly. So disrespectful not to be able to remember. But I'm able to recall 3/4, just like on one episode that I did a few months ago, where I couldn't remember the fourth member of, for whatever reason, I could only remember 3/4 of a group known as the Four Horsemen. And, you know, in some regards, that is, Killian Dane. That's his name. But for whatever reason, that's, as a wrestling fan, you know, and as a wrestling, media, I should be able to remember, or for that matter, always be able to say, you know, I shouldn't have to forget, or for that matter, have these moments where I forget, because it's like a major group in wrestling history was the Four Horsemen. Let me try it again. Sanity was made up of the following people. Nikki Cross almost had a stroke. Anyway, Nikki Cross, Eric Young, Killian Dane, and Alex Wolfe. Yes! There we go. But Athena versus Abby Jane, and Athena read her lips, "Oh, you're so cute." So one of the commentators said that he read her lips and he looked at Athena telling Abby Jane that, "Oh, you're so cute." Athena had a 6-match win streak, and she keeps it going here. Not a lot to talk about, though, but Athena, throughout the match, does disrespect and somewhat bully Abby, even after she wins the match. I give it 2 out of 5 stars. Perhaps a heel turn coming for Athena, who they refer to as the Fallen Goddess. I remember Athena as Ember Moon. So it's good to see her back in a wrestling ring. I was told that she was pregnant, but I'm not sure whether or not that's true or not. And that's why she was gone from NXT for so long. Trish Adorga versus Tay Mello. Now, it was Tay Mello. I'm sorry, that's exactly right. Trish Adorga versus Tay Mello of the Jericho Appreciation Society. So, right before the match begins, and for that matter, before it ends, and for that matter, after it ends, Sammy just makes out with her. Throughout the match, Sammy Guevara just plants a big old smooch straight on her while the world's watching on the entrance ramp. They are the, and something that I learned from commentary is that Sammy and Tay are the AAA Intergender Tag Team Champions. Tay and Sammy Guevara. A few moments into the match, and she wants some good luck kisses from her BF Sammy. Then she finishes the job with the Tay KO. So she gets the knee up after going for what looks like a vertebraker. And I give it 2 out of 5 stars. Wasn't that long. It was what I wouldn't say is entertaining, but it was interesting to say the least, because once you get started and then you're like, oh, okay, so they're in a, looks like she's got her in a pretzel, and she was going for what looked to be either a vertebraker or a gourd buster, but instead of going for the vertebraker or the gourd buster, she ends up turning her around while she was on her back, and hitting Trish Adorg with the knee straight to the nose. She calls it the tie KO. Got the pin, got the win. Two rising stars in AEW as is what commentary says. Which I've never heard of this first guy, Eli Isom versus Dante Martin. And here's something that I wanted to bring up. Throughout this entire card here, you can tell who's going to win. Like, let me take you back to the ROH six-man... Nope, not that one. Both of them got entrances. Abby Jane versus Athena. So, you automatically knew that Athena was going to win because Athena was the only one who got pyro, who got music, who got, you know, any sort of... It's almost like they don't want to waste resources on the other person who's going to lose. Someone is outside right now singing. I'm not really sure why they're singing. But it's almost like that they don't want to waste resources on the person who's going to lose on the other side of the ring. So instead, and I hate that, you know, that they're making it extremely obvious who's going to win the match and already giving away part of the ending, you know. To do that would be like if you were reading a book and right before you get to the end of the book or the end of the movie, and it's a movie franchise that you love, the director personally comes up to you, and it always happens, and the director always tells you what's going to happen at the end. Let's say 2 hours before you start the movie, or you go to pop the disc in, you go to watch it at the theater. It doesn't matter in this scenario. Then what ends up happening is the director comes up and then he just all of a sudden just says, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen, you're about to watch The Lion King." And then he says, "At the end of this movie," and then just spoils it right before the movie starts. And then he says, "Have a great day, ladies and gentlemen." So, you know, it's half of the magic that's been kind of removed. And as a wrestling journalist, I would prefer it if they didn't tell me who's scheduled to win what match. But anyway, I got a little bit sidetracked there. Gave Trish Adora and her name's not supposed to be Tay Mella. I know that for sure. I can't, for the life of me, remember what her name was before it was Tay Mella. But Tay Mella ends up picking up the victory off of the Ty KO, as she calls it. 2 out of 5 stars. So commentary says 2 rising stars in AEW clash as Eli Isom versus Dante Martin. So like I said, I was going to try to do a play-by-play this episode. So here's the play-by-play. Here's some of the highlights that happened during the wrestling match. Eli was already in the ring before it started. So we already know that Eli's not winning this particular contest. a nice rally going back and forth, and then you got a nice deep arm drag from Dante Martin. Loved the deep crossbody and the moonsault corkscrew rope walk into a pin for three out of five stars. Wasn't that long of a match. Some of the highlights that happened were really good. As I gave it 3 out of 5 stars. Then we go to our next contest, which was a trios tag team match. Someone is singing outside of my window. I do apologize. I think that they're drunk. One second. I do apologize for that elongated pause. Someone came into my house singing, and I don't know if they're drunk. I don't know if they're high. I don't know what the problem is. I'm extremely, extremely sorry. I know that I ask for a 5-star rating, and then I give you guys nothing but silence. However, some of the things that I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis are out of my control, and if I complain, then I tend to get jumped onto. I'm what you would call the punching bag in my family. So I do apologize for the elongated silence, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you understand. Hopefully you have family members who, for whatever reason, tend to make your life a living hell, and they don't care about your feelings, they only care about their feelings. And if you can relate to that, then that is why I started my journey in spirituality, as well as in mental health in one way or another. That's why I monitor everything that I post on my Facebook page, despite me not posting on Facebook for a long time. I do apologize once again, ladies and gentlemen, for the elongated silence. Was never my intention to silence my platform for 2 or 3 minutes. Luckily, though, I have a mute button. The next match on the card, if I didn't already say it, Eli Isom versus Dante Martin, I gave it 3 out of 5 stars. The next match on the card is a trios tag team match as the Factory, QT Marshall, and Lee Johnson and Cole Carter face off against Cheeseburger, Rick Titus, and Logan Easton. Logan Easton Rhett Titus Cheeseburger face off against The Factory, QT Marshall, Lee Johnson, and Cole Carter. So here's my take on this match. If you want to take a certain gimmick in professional wrestling, that's nice. No hate. But if you want to be taken seriously in professional wrestling, you're going to have to lose a name like Cheeseburger. You can't go around calling yourself something like Cheeseburger or, "Ooh, I'm Peanut Butter and he's Jelly, and together we are PB&J. Tag me in, Jelly. You look like that you're struggling." You know, like, "But I can't wrestle Peanut Butter. I'm allergic to Peanut Butter. You know," like, you're actually going to have a persona in professional wrestling. It wouldn't have surprised me if Cheeseburger was just Sami Zayn in a costume. Because that's practically what he's trying to do, is make people laugh, even though he's supposed to be a heel. Well, not Cheeseburger. After The Factory wins, though, in short order, they end up cutting half of what was supposed to be a promo until someone comes up on the Titantron, and QT Marshall can't even get out like two words without someone coming up on the Titantron, and all of a sudden it shows a hammer and it shows some nails. And after it shows the hammer and the nails, it cuts. And then he just leaves the ring. He looks like he's shocked, or for that matter, you know, "Oh, the hell was that?" And then he's like walking away. He's like, "What was that?" Like, you're not fooling anyone. You know who it is. You just won't tell us. Miles Hawkins and, I gave that one 2 out of 5 stars. The play-by-play on this one was, there was a nice suplex, a great, near fall, so really good 2 count, rally as Cheeseburger, got turned into someone on commentary said that Cheeseburger just got turned into a Taco Bell. And then I was like, "What?" Oh, okay, because, I'm sorry, I missed it. That Cheeseburger just got turned into Taco Bell, the way his bell got rang. So, that's what someone said on commentary, so I decided to write it down. 2 out of 5 stars. Miles Hawkins and Joe Keys versus Eddie Kingston and Ortiz. Eddie chant before the match starts, and Joe Keys was a Ring of Honor, was in the Ring of Honor ROH Pure Division, and Ortiz shows some of his swinging action. Says to plug my Twitter and ask people a joke. Okay, so here's the joke. As I plug my Twitter, that's P1_BBY. There you go. There's my Twitter. Anyway. Let me go ahead and tell you the joke that I had right here. If you dress up as John Cena for Halloween, can other people see you? Make a joke about Darth Vader. Okay, so here's a joke that I heard the other day. I feel like I should have told these at either the ending or the beginning of the program. But, you know, someone had to come in here singing Journey for whatever reason. I guess he's drunk. Okay, so this joke might come off a little bit racist. So, racist warning, you know? But, Darth Vader was the first black man to ever say that or to ever admit that he is the Father. Then back to the action, as I give it 2.5 stars out of 5. It was over in like 3 minutes, and it had a nice rally. Good to see Eddie Kingston on Dark Elevation, even though he's barely on TV, you know, especially like YouTube or AEW Dark or Dark Elevation. There wasn't really many, if not any, highlights. There was a nice part where he hit him with a half and half suplex. No, I'm thinking of the next match. Sorry. Almost ruined it. The next match is Kip Sabian versus Alex Reynolds, the Dark Order member, Alex Reynolds. A nice rally at the start, a nice fast-paced Irish whip, and a good stalemate, at the start with a vertical leaping drop kick, and Kip Sabian does this thing wherever he like leapfrogs over Alex Reynolds, and then after that he goes like down on the ground, and then Reynolds jumps over him, and then after that Sabian gets up off the ground, and then Alex runs straight into a flying drop kick, like a beautiful leaping drop kick. I feel like if Kip Sabian was any later on that drop kick, it would have probably hit Alex would have probably Reynolds probably would have hit Sabian in his nuts, you know, because that's how close he was to hitting. But it was a beautiful vertical drop kick, and Kip Sabian does a Alex Reynolds rather does a move that Roman Reigns used to do called the drive-by. The outside of the ring apron, nice near fall, small package, but he only gets a 2 count. A nice clothesline, and Reynolds hits a Tiger Driver powerbomb pin on Sabian from Reynolds. He hits an elevated suplex and gets a 2 count. Sabian bites Alex Reynolds using the ropes for some leverage to steal the win. He doesn't necessarily use the ropes, but see, Reynolds tries to steal the victory with a... Either it's a victory roll or it's a small package. I think it's a small package because it... I mean, he wasn't standing on top of him. That's usually the way that you do the victory roll. I know that it wasn't an O'Connor roll, but Reynolds had the small package, and then Kip Sabian was able to, like, get the leverage enough to wherever he was able to roll Alex Reynolds' shoulders to the ground so that he was in charge of the pin. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. It was honestly a really good match. Nice back and forth, nice fast-paced action. Kip Sabian really had a moment to shine here, and it really shows that Alex Reynolds... Alex Reynolds also has a lot of talent. So I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. And now we come to our main event, which didn't really have all that much to offer. It had a few spots. This name is in Spanish and I hate it. As Angelico and Butcher and Blade, Butcher and the Blade, with the Bunny, versus Best Friends and Rocky Romero. So, Chuck Taylor is in a pretty funny spot here, because two of his former tag team partners, and, well, two of his tag team partners, rather, are in this particular match. Chuck Taylor and Trent make up best friends, whereas though that Taylor and Rocky Romero make up ICO Vice, or whatever it's called. Repugni Vice, I think it's called. They say it a few times, but every time that they say it, they always say it so fast. Like, you can't say a team name and then always say it so fast to wherever someone doesn't know what it is that you're talking about every time that you say it. And it's like, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. What are they called again? And then you say it. And then it's like, boom, you just said it. You say it so fast. You know, why can't you just slow down? Slow down there, buddy. Say it so that I can understand what you're saying. We get a nice submission maneuver about 7-10 minutes into the match. Nothing really exciting, you know, nothing really off the walls happened until like the second or the third half of this match. So to do a play-by-play, I would have to have said something, put something down here that wasn't exactly like, you know, it would have put you to sleep if it wasn't so exciting that it had to be put down. So we get a nice submission maneuver. Looks like a modified deathlock. Angelico has it in, and I think he's got it in on Rocky. And Rocky Romero is in desperate need of a tag to one of his partners. We also get the spot, usually that's done by best friends, wherever the camera comes, zooms in really fast and then zooms out really fast and then zooms in whenever they go for the hug that best friends usually goes for. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you just it's just an inside joke every time that Trent Beretta and Chuck Taylor, or for that matter any combination of Chuck, Orange Cassidy, and Trent Beretta are in the ring, because it's either best friends or just friends, like Chuck and Orange Cassidy. Sure, they'll do it. Beretta and Taylor. Sure, they'll do it. Trent and Cassidy, maybe. I mean, I feel like the combination would stop every time that Trent is with either Chuck or Cassidy. But any combination of that just makes either best friends or just friends. Big Show says, or rather, sorry, Paul White. Looks like tattoos from the Butcher has. So he's talking about the Butcher because of the fact that he's talking about how intimidating he looks. And yes, you can look intimidating. But these men have been a tag team for well over a year, and we have yet to see anything from them that really... Where is the steak, you know? Like, I'm getting a lot of sizzle, a lot of... You hear that? You hear what that is? That's the seasoning that I'm putting on the steak. He's all sizzle and no steak. He's all bite and no bark. You know, or he's all bark, rather, and no bite, is what I mean to say. He's, I see that he looks intimidating as a tag team wrestler, but where's the delivery? You know, when does it come? You know, you gotta be able to do more than just look intimidating, is what I'm trying to say. You can look intimidating all you want. You could be a bouncer at a club, but the minute that a fight breaks out, you got to be like, hey, guys, just stop it. Just cut it out, okay? No, you gotta be able to throw out the drunk guys that are harassing the girls. Nice neck breaker, a beauty of a combo from Trent Beretta with a kick, then a swinging DDT, then a corner clothesline, a huge clothesline, followed up by a German suplex, a nice dragon, half and half German suplex. So he hits this, like I was talking about earlier, he hits this half German, half dragon suplex. It's not that hard to pull off, but it's something you don't see in wrestling every day. It's almost like the Spanish fly that I was talking about during the match with Candice LeRae and Io Shirai on that episode. I'm pretty sure it's called, the name of that episode should be a performance that will forever live in my heart forever, or something like that, where I talked about the Spanish fly and how you usually don't see an Avalanche Spanish fly in the world of professional wrestling today, thanks to a low blow from Danhausen. It's a wrap for the Bunny, the Blade, and the Butcher. And Angelico, I realize that it's really disrespectful that I do not know this man's name, but they only said it like a handful of times, you know, and I've seen him before. He was a part of another tag team, but I can't remember his tag team partner's name. You got me. He was a part of my iFunny days. But anyway, I gave this one 3.5 out of 5 stars. 3, rather, out of 5 stars. Not 3.5. Just 3 full stars. Not a half a star after. And, ladies and gentlemen, that's the show this week. Thank you all so much for joining me. I, once again, would like to apologize on behalf of myself here at Gut Wrench Podcast Headquarters for that momentary lapse in communication. Someone was outside my window, and they were singing for whatever reason. And they came in here hollering, singing Journey. So, and then after that they switched from Journey to Twisted Sister, and then after that they switched from Twisted Sister to something else. I'm sure they know the name of that song and I don't, but it's not important. The important part is it's the end of the episode. It's the part wherever I say, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. Time to call 911. Why would I do that? Listen at yourself. Time to write a love letter? What? Who would I write a love letter to? Think about that for a minute. Time to impersonate Arnold Schwarzenegger. Why would I do that? Okay, that's it. You're done. You hear me? No, we're not doing any of those, okay? Please. For the love of God, it's time to close the show, okay? It's time to say goodnight. Time to shenanay your audience? Okay, well, it's not necessarily time to do that. Not yet. But soon. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me for yet another episode of the Gut Wrench Podcast, episode number, if I remember correctly, I haven't looked, 54, if not 55. I will correct myself on the next episode, because by that point in time, I should have ample amount of time to have looked at the episode number count, and then, you know, actually close it with the accurate episode number count. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me. I'm Mocha. You're not. That's a wrap. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.